Welcome to Hope for Right Now, a Walking with Purpose podcast. Walking with Purpose is a Catholic women's apostolate that creates fresh and relevant Bible studies to lead women to personally know Christ through Scripture. Hi, I'm Lisa Brennickmeyer, and I'm joined by Laura Phelps. We are two friends passionate about unpacking God's Word and applying it to our everyday lives. Each week, we will step out of the discouragement the world provides by grabbing hold of the hope we find in God's Word. Never have we been more convinced of the importance of women being grounded in hope. No matter where you are in the spiritual journey, we pray you'll stick around because God has a word for your heart, and His word changes everything. So open your heart, open your Bible, and invite God in. Hello, and welcome back to the Hope for Right Now podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Brennickmeyer.
And I am your other host, Laura Phelps. And we are continuing with our series on the spiritual battle titled Be Strong, the Armor of God. And this is part two of our introduction to the spiritual battle. And the reason we have a part two to this is we think it's really worth revisiting because too many people are unaware of the spiritual realm. And because they're not aware of the spiritual realm, they also have no idea when they're under attack. And I think I know for myself, Lisa, like what can look like a string of bad luck or just kind of like a lousy day, it's actually spiritual warfare. And I don't know. I'm not aware of the evidence. And the evidence that we're under spiritual attack, it could be seen anytime we experience discord in relationships or when we feel emotionally unstable, which is like always.
Often. No.
yeah. So things like that, but we don't recognize it. Like it could even be like when we're physically exhausted. That can be evidence of a spiritual attack. And so why part two is because we just want to wake up. We want everybody to wake up to what's really going on. And so we're just going to continue today to look at Ephesians 6. And I say we just dive in. Are you up for reading the passage for us, Lisa?
Sure. Yeah. So for today, we're just going to look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, not the whole passage we looked at last week. And then in the following weeks, we're going to look at little, much smaller segments of this overall passage, because we're going to look at each piece of our armor one by one. So Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So something that really strikes me when I look at this passage today is how Paul seems to be saying that simply standing is actually something worth celebrating. And he's telling us that we are in the middle of a battle, that we'd better have our armor on, and that at the end of it all, if we're still standing, that in and of itself is a huge victory. And that reminds me of some advice, some fabulous advice I got in this past year from my mom. And I've talked about on other episodes how my family has really been walking through some hard circumstances, and I've not known what to do. And I've wanted to say the right thing, and I've wanted to fix things, and I've just wanted to help. And I can't count how many times over this past year that I called my mom and she would just say to me, "Stay steady, just stay steady." And every time she would say that, my heart would just calm down. In a lot of ways, it didn't feel like that was enough, because me staying steady did not actually fix anything. It didn't fix what was broken. But I do think that during the times I was able to do it, it was helpful. And the reason why I think it's helpful when we just keep standing, when we just stay steady, is that kids and frankly husbands as well often, I think, look to the mama of the family to see if everything is going to be okay. And just our emotional state kind of, it just moves out, it ripples out and affects everybody else in the family. And how we are, our steadiness is super important. And it reminds me, just a quick story of Bobby when he was little. So when he would have been probably about five, Charlotte was a baby in the stroller, and we had taken our dog Bailey for a walk. And so we're going along, and I've got the stroller and I've got the dog. And he asked me if he could be the one to hold the dog's leash. And Bailey was super calm. So I'm like, sure, that'll be fine. So it was literally just within a minute of Bobby taking the leash that Bailey took off and started running after a squirrel. And Bobby was doing his best to keep up, but his little legs just could not move fast enough. And we were at the top of a hill. And so they were even going downhill. And I kept yelling for him to just let go of the leash, but he didn't. And in the end, his little legs just gave out and he had one of those horrible falls where you just get scraped up all over the place. And when I ran to him and I picked him up, his little face, he looked up at me and his little face was so full of fear. And he looked in my eyes and he said, "Am I dead?" Which really was kind of hilarious. He was not dead, right? Obviously. But our kids do this, right? They look at our faces and they ask the question, "Am I going to be okay? Are things going to be okay?" Right? And our steadiness, our expressions are communicating something to them.
Yeah. And can I just say, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's, well, first of all, Bobby is very much alive because I've met him and he's wonderful.
Even though for ages you wondered if Bobby actually existed, you had met everybody else first. You're like, is Bobby real?
Yeah. You don't talk about Bobby nearly as much as the others. So I was like, is this boy photoshopped in the Christmas card? So he's very real and he's wonderful. But I so relate to this. And it's just so true about that idea of like, they look to us, like our kids look to us to see how are we responding and how are we handling it? And it was not that long ago, my daughter was, I don't really remember what she was going through at that moment, what the crisis du jour was that day, but she was going through something. And whatever it was, I apparently was not handling it very well, because she looked at me and I'll never forget that. She said, "Mom, when you look worried, it makes me worry more." And I was like, oh, I'm like, okay. Of course, I was kind of like, that's so unfair. Like, honestly, it is very hard to look steady, right? Like when you're actually feeling horrified inside. I was like, this was not in What to Expect When You're Expecting. Like, right? You know, but like either was the devil. So there's no chapter on the devil in What to Expect When You're Expecting. So there's that.
Yeah. Some of these are, yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to stay steady.
It's hard. And these are lessons that we kind of, yeah, we start to learn as we go along, right? And yeah, I don't think that I'm going to ever look at the spiritual battle in the same way again since this incredible week that you and I just had, Laura. So I want to talk a little bit about what we were just up to in Detroit a week ago, because we have experienced an incredible time of prayer and teaching with the team at Acts 29. And a small group of us from Walking with Purpose were able to spend a week in Detroit. And what we were really focusing on in a lot of ways, I think it's fair to say, was the spiritual battle and new, more effective ways to pray. And so if you've not heard of Acts 29, I hope you have already heard of them because I think they're just incredible. If you haven't heard of them, please check out what they do. They are a group of missionaries led by Father John Ricardo. And I am not kidding when I say that what they are doing is absolutely some of the most important ministry work that's going on in the church today. I honestly cannot speak highly enough of them. And I don't know anybody who communicates spiritual truths as well as Father John Ricardo. And he does it in a way that people who don't already believe can connect with him and follow him. And I think that is such a critical gift. You know, a lot of people can talk to someone who's already all in. He can talk to someone who is who's more skeptical, someone who's really been much more formed by a secular worldview. And I learn so, so much from him. And when he preaches the gospel, it is like I'm hearing it for the first time. And I have heard the gospel a lot of times. I've preached the gospel a lot of times, but when he shares it and teaches it, it's absolutely transformative, no matter how many times I've heard it. And the whole team at Acts 29 is really off the charts at encouraging the rest of us to step out onto the battlefield and take back ground the enemy has captured. Like, they're all equally good as each other. They're super practical, insightful, lovely. I really cannot say enough nice things about them. And I encourage you to watch The Rescue Project in order to taste what I'm talking about. But Laura, I would love for you to share a little bit about what we experienced last week and what it taught you about the spiritual battle.
Gosh, how much time do we have? Because I just remember coming home thinking, like, how do I even explain this? How do I explain? They are just fantastic. But I'll say, how about I start with a couple of those questions that that we started with day one. I mean, we were there for 5 days. So there was a lot to go through. And so the first couple of days, day one, really, we were presented with two very simple, but I think very challenging questions. And it was, who do you say that I am? That was the first question. And then what is the biggest wound in my life? And so, like, if you could just picture it, we'd be presented these questions, there'd be amazing talks and teachings, but then we would take these questions and we would go into the chapel and we would spend time before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And we sat there and we started with, Lord, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And we didn't answer it ourselves. We waited. You know, this took a lot of practice. So this took me some time to actually settle my heart, settle down, and just wait and listen to what the Lord had to say to me and how he answered that question. Who do you say that I am? And the reason that we had to start there, like we had to start with that question, right? Because Father John explained, knowing who and whose we are is like super crucial to living in freedom, right? Like we talk about this a lot and you talk about this a lot, our identity, right? Identity is so important. And so Father was explaining to us how so many of us, we just have such a distorted image of ourselves. And the Lord wants to heal that. Like he really wants to heal that. And he wants to reveal our true identity to us. So the flip side we have to look at is, well, if that's what the Lord wants for us, guess what the enemy really doesn't want, right? He does not want us to know who we are and whose we are. And I love he gave an example. I'm pretty visual, so this was really helpful. One of the examples he gave to us about what the enemy does to us regarding our identity is that he'll just throw scenes from our past before our eyes. And when he said that, I almost imagined, I'm going to totally age myself, was it called the viewfinder? Do you remember those little?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And like you'd have different little discs of slides and you'd stick it in. Mm. Those were the days. Like, let's just go back to the viewfinder. That was like our equivalent of scrolling, was our little finger.
That's so true.
Not quite as addictive.
No, no, because it's gone. Yeah. So like the enemy, he's got a viewfinder and he's got a bunch of slides and it's all my past sins. And it's all the shame and it's all the regret. And they just flash before your eyes. And I don't know about you, Lisa, but like that will happen to me in the middle of the day. And you're like, why am I even thinking? Why am I drumming this up again? Like, why am I digging this up again? And the kicker is I think we also find ourselves indulging in it almost. You know, we go down that rabbit trail because we don't know it's an attack.
Mm.
We don't know, like, this is actually a spiritual attack. This is one of the enemy's tactics to get us to go back to our past and feel shame or regret or anything like that. And so not knowing who we are to God is actually a serious impediment to our staying steady in the spiritual battle. And so that's where we began. And then we moved on to the second question, was like required many, many tissues, because that was what's the biggest wound in my life. And that was just, I don't know about you, but that was really, really powerful. We were just, you know, asked to approach Jesus. And I love this. So this is Father John Ricardo's language here and his brilliant way of presenting this to us. But he said, I want you to approach Jesus with the mindset of a patient entering a doctor's office, right? So we're coming in to the doctor's office, standing before the divine physician, right? And asking him, like, just reveal that piece of my heart that is holding me back from freedom, that's holding me back from peace. And that was really powerful. I love that image. And we also looked at John. We looked at John chapter 5, verse 6. And that's when Jesus asks the paralytic beside the pool, do you want to be healed? And if you're not familiar with that scripture, basically, he doesn't answer. Like the answer isn't like, yes, Lord, I want to be healed, or yes, strange man, I'd love to be healed. He actually gives a litany of excuses of why he can't be healed. Right? Like he runs down all the reasons why healing just isn't happening for him. And isn't that kind of what we do? I think sometimes we do that because often our wounds, it's almost like we don't know how to live without them. You know what I mean? Like I went through a season of total chaos and I can 100% say I became addicted to the chaos. Like that was my way of life. So almost you don't know how to live without it. So that was really powerful, just understanding that we need to know our wounds. We need to know our wounds because we need to get rid of them. We need to let the Lord come into those places that hurt and heal them, because those places, and we've talked about this before, they are dangerous because they become a foothold to the enemy. He knows exactly where to go. He knows what hurts us. He knows where to aim. Remember Father John, do you remember when he said, this was key for me, when he looked at us and he said, the enemy knows your name, he knows your number, and he wants to kill you. Right? Yeah. Like, he knows us. You know, God's got a great plan for your life, Lisa, mine, all our listeners, but so does the enemy.
Yeah.
And so if we don't know our wounds, that's a problem. That's a problem. So we need to know them, because step one in the spiritual battle is actually awareness, right? It's like being aware. And so, yeah, it was amazing. And I don't know about you, but I was like, oh my gosh, like, this actually works.
Yeah.
Like, when you take it to the Lord, like, wasn't that amazing that, like, you would hear him answer?
Yeah. Because I think that's the thing, that when we were told that's what we were going to go in and do, I would bet that tons of the people in the room were like, well, what if he doesn't say anything to me? And how am I going to know if it's him or not him? And yeah, it was incredible that once we got quiet, he really did speak. And yeah, I found that second prayer exercise just a huge one as well. And I think it's just worth saying that we weren't like a bunch of super prayers there. It's not like this was a team that, I don't know, we've all been trained in all these prayer techniques or whatever. These were just, I don't know, Joe Blog normal people. And we were there with two other parishes, and they had, you know, the person who runs the parish finances and, you know, the admin person. It's not like this was everybody who is on your healing intercessory prayer team at church. So I just say that to encourage everyone, because it wasn't, hearing from God was not something reserved for a special few. It was really what happened to all of us when we got quiet and when we just gave God the time. And one of the things I hear Father John Ricardo say often is that we need to just waste time with God. Are we willing to do that?
Right.
Yeah. So those first two prayer exercises were really, really incredible. And then the third one, I don't know. I think the third one was my favorite. The most, like, I don't ever think this way, right? And so in the third prayer exercise, we were asked to enter the chapel with a mindset of a spy and to ask God the question, what's hell's strategy for my life? And this is a question we absolutely have to think about. And you were alluding to that, Laura, when you said, you know, the enemy knows your name, he's got your number, and he wants to kill you. And so his plans for us are tailor-made. And because he also knows our biggest wounds, and this is why if we don't recognize what they are, and he does, I mean, we are absolute sitting ducks. He knows each of our biggest wounds, and he is doing everything he can do to exploit the most tender and vulnerable places in our heart. He knows exactly how to lie to us, saying things that are not true, but this is key. They sound true and they feel true, and as a result, they rob us of peace. And he knows the strongholds that we like to run to. And he is just watching us and waiting for us to run to strongholds of self-reliance, or to a stronghold of alcohol, or busyness, or control, or numbness, or perfection. Like, he knows exactly where each one of us head when we do not feel safe. And it's different for all of us. And it's almost like he is watching and just waiting. He's like, I know she's going to go there. So I know the route she's going to take. So I know just where to get her. So when we aren't feeling settled, when we are feeling under threat, he is just watching, he's waiting, and then he takes us down. And we are easy targets when we're oblivious to his tactics. And I think that is so key. You said it at the beginning, Laura, that we've got to be aware, we've got to wake up. And one of the passages we were led to that I just thought was so powerful was 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 12. And it gave us some extra insight into the enemy and into what is really, really going on, and how if we are unaware, we are really disarmed in a lot of ways. And this is a story about Israel and the prophet Elisha. And the Israelites were at war with Syria. And the passage says, once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, at such and such a place shall be my camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. And the king of Israel sent to that place of which the man of God told him. Thus, he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this incident. He called his servants and said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? And he was basically saying, which one of you is a spy? And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber." So Father John shared that story with us and then encouraged us to go into prayer with the mindset of a spy and to imagine ourselves going into hell's control center and to imagine listening into one of the enemy's strategy sessions. So you're the subject, okay? What do you think they're going to be talking about? If they were looking at a film of your life, what do you think they'd be picking up on that they could exploit? Or that, you know, a scene that they could flash in front of your eyes, or something that they could lie to you about, something they could use to trip you up. And it could be wounds, but you know, another thing it can be, Laura, is it can be sins we're playing around with, because they know our favorite sins. They know those temptations that we turn to. And so they're thinking, well, what things can I throw in front of her that will particularly tempt her? Because I know when she feels like this, that's where she wants to go. What might it be? So as the story goes on, the Syrians figure out where the prophet Elisha is. And so they decide to surround the city where he is so that they can capture him. And that's exactly what they set out to do under the cover of night. And in 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17, we see that in the morning, the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out. So this is Elisha's servant is out kind of scanning the horizon. And behold, he could see an army with horses and chariots all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Elisha said to him, "Fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then Elisha prayed and he said, "O Lord, I beg you, open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. So God answered Elisha's prayer by allowing his servant to see the spiritual reality of the battle that he was in. So with his own eyes, he actually could see the enemy. That was clear to him. But when God gave the servant spiritual sight, he was able to see God's army standing around them on every side, ready to protect them. Yes, the enemy was there, but the enemy was outnumbered by God's army, which was positioned all around the prophet.
And that gives me chills. That really gives me chills. And I hope everybody's found that we put all of the scripture in our show notes, because this really is worth sitting and meditating on and revisiting, because it's so powerful. And I love the part about when God gave the servant spiritual sight. You know, when you talk about giving spiritual sight, because we hear this phrase a lot in scripture, right? Always like this plea to see. You know, it reminds me about the blind beggars on the side of the road. It's in Luke's gospel, and how the blind beggar, like, he can't see Jesus, but he hears them. And that's his cry out. He cries out to him. And when Jesus approaches him, he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And his answer is, "Lord, that I may see." Another translation might be, "Lord, let me receive my sight." And I love this, because I know I've prayed this for myself, you know, that I may see, because this is more than just a prayer for like 2020 vision, right? Which I would love, by the way. I would love to be able to see, because the readers have become a real burden. But this is a prayer for spiritual sight. I just love that. It's a prayer for spiritual sight. And I think it brings us nicely to our fourth question. I'm toying. I do love what is hell strategy, because that's such a great image, like to actually picture the enemy in a control room. And if anybody's been in a control room, like, I can picture that. But I kind of like this one too, because I don't know. I think because there have been, when you wake up to the battle, I think this is why I like this next question. When you wake up to the battle, it's like, okay, game on, game on, right? And so like this last question was, where are you asking me to attack, Lord? Like, all right, let's go. And so this question I think is really crucial. They're all really important, but this one's really important, because if you take a look at everything that we've learned now up until this point, right? Like we walked through all these questions. So the Lord revealed our true identity. He revealed our biggest wounds. He revealed hell's strategy. So now what? Right? Like, it's not enough to just know all this. Like, now it's time for us to attack. Like, we have to fight back. And I don't know. I'm always like, if anybody's met me in real life, I'm pretty tiny, but I'm super scrappy. The Lord made me scrappy. And I think it's because I need to fight back. We all need to fight back. And this is when Father John Ricardo asked us to adopt the mindset of a general, which I love, which also, side note, cracks me up because we had a guinea pig named the General. So
there has to be an animal reverence.
Which, like, I mean, I guess he stayed steady. He didn't really move. So, adopt the mindset of a general, weighing all that God had revealed to us and then considering very practically, right? Like, this is a call to get practical. What territory is the Lord asking me to take back in my life?
I love that.
Amen, right? Like, Lisa, and you know me fairly well, like this one gets me fired up. This call to action gets me fired up because I'm just, like, the enemy, he's just a jerk. Like, I'm so, so tired. I'm so sick of the havoc that he has caused. And I know you are too. Like, When you think about all the, in your life, in your marriage, in your kids, in your mind, mm-hmm. all the thoughts, just the territory that he has wrongfully taken, right? Like, what gets a mama bear more angry than that? Mm. Like, give me back what does not belong to you. And I'm just super tired of it. I'm really tired of it. I'm tired of his very stupid and uncreative schemes, frankly, uncreative. I say that because he's got one gameplay. He runs the same play over and over again. And so that's why knowing our wounds is really important. You're going to find out what that gameplay is. And for me, very typically, he loves to go after my children. He loves to go after my children. And here's the thing. You can know all these things. We can know it in our head, but if we don't stay alert, if we don't stay watchful, sober-minded, if we don't stay on guard, we'll fall for it again. We'll fall for it again. It's just how it goes. And I don't know, do you remember, I'm sure you do, like on our last day, you know, we've gone through this amazing experience and we didn't even talk about the food. So,
oh my gosh, the food is unbelievable.
Shout out to Julie and the overnight oats, my word. So, but at the very end of it, you know, we're all just feeling amazing. Just feeling amazing, but we were also warned as we were let out. Like, when you walk out these doors, get ready for the attacks. Like, the attacks will begin. I think Father John, what did he say? Like, because you all did such good work, like, the enemy's really ticked. Like, this ticked him off.
He's ticked, yeah.
He's ticked. And in true fashion, I don't know what your reentry was like, but it was like one
rough.
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One by
the attacks came.
One by one, the attacks. And so one of the targets was obviously my daughter. And this is the one who looked at me and said, when you look worried, I worry. Of course, I'm like, well, then please don't FaceTime me.
like, that's on you for FaceTiming me constantly.
Like, there's a simple remedy to not looking at my face. And it's called a phone call, right. Phone pigeon carrier, anything but FaceTime, please. But I digress. I could feel myself going back to my old ways. Like, after this amazing mountaintop experience of just feeling that temptation to run to my strongholds, which are self-reliance, hyper-responsibility, enmeshment. I could go on and on. So it was, Lisa, it was this fourth question that I just pulled out my notes. And I went back to it. And instead of spiraling, I was like, all right, Lord, where do you want me to attack? Like, that's the question that came to mind. And especially, like, in this case, I know who my daughter is, right? Like, I know her true identity. I think I know her greatest wounds. I say that and I'm like, yeah, I probably don't. I'm sure there's many I'm unaware of. But what I did know in that moment, she needed help on the front line. Like, she needed some help on the front line. And I just knew that I was the woman for that job. And I want to clarify that. I'm not the woman for the job to step in and fix it. I've been that woman. She's tired. Yeah. She's really tired. That's not what I mean when I say, like, I'm the woman for the job. I'm going to step in and make everything go away. That wasn't it. It was the job of being able to look at the situation she was walking in with spiritual vision. And on behalf of her, going to the Lord. And based on everything that I know, everything that she's told me, just saying, okay, Lord, like, where does she need to attack? Like, where do we need to go? What's most important right now? And this was really helpful because I'll tell you, in the past, when a child would come to me in some kind of distress, I don't know what happens to your brain, but, like, I short circuit. Like, I can't even concentrate. I have to walk away from work. I can't do anything, like lose all ability to concentrate. And my cry to the Lord is one of despair in those moments, actually. And it's just, I don't know what to do, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll just repeat that. Like, and I'm sure it's like I am a mouse that the enemy is like toying with. Like, picture like how a cat plays with a mouse. Like, that's what's happening in those moments of just spiraling in like the doubt and the confusion. Mm-hmm. So Father John Ricardo, Mary Guilfoyle, like all the acts, like, thank you so much, because like I put this into practice immediately. Like, I didn't go into the confusion. I went to, okay, what do you need us to do? Show me the territory to go after. And do you have something to say about that? You look like you want to say something.
Oh, do I? I'm just totally agreeing with you.
Okay.
No, I'm just totally agreeing with you. But can I just say this? I'll just say this, that I think when we are stuck with what you described as the despair and the discouragement and all of that, what we're often saying is, why is this happening in my family? Why is this happening to my kids? And that's where we really get stuck and we don't go on the offensive. And I was just nodding, because yes, he's like toying around with us as we keep asking this question. We already know the answer. Why? Because this is a battle. Why? Because yes, he is not only going after us, he's going after our kids. He hates them too. And he knows the ways to disable us is by going after our kids more than going after ourselves. So we sit asking this question that we already have the answer to, instead of going, enough messing with me. Not on my watch. You come after me, you come after my kids, I am coming after you. And I will just say this one thing and then I'm going to give it back, because I know you were in the middle of a thought. I'm kind of interrupting you. But one of our ministry coaches sent me something from Abiding Together, which was from one of their social media posts. I don't even know how long ago, but it was so good. And I printed it out and I have it here on my desk. And it says, the devil whispered in my ear, you're not strong enough to withstand the storm. And today I whispered in the devil's ear, I am the storm. I 100%. Love that. Like, you come after me, I'm not going to sit here and let you play with me and play with my family. I am going on the offensive, and I'm doing it strategically, and I'm doing it in the power and with the coverage of God himself.
Amen. Amen. And just to point out, like, that fighting back, that can look like staying steady. that fighting back, it's not like we're telling you to like to literally like go get your sword and run through the streets. But that could be staying steady, because we are not called to be sitting ducks, right? Like, that is not the call here. It is to stand strong and to resist. It's actually that steadiness is actually a call to action, saying like, I will not back down. I'm not going to go fetal under my desk. I'm not going to cry and run around like a lunatic saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And then like go shopping. Like, I'm not going to do that. You've messed with the wrong person. Because by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, let's not forget, you have been defeated.
Mm-hmm.
You've been defeated.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just all so amazing. And then just like one final thought, that when we were in prayer, and like you said, there were other parishes there, and there was somebody I had never met before in my life. And when we were praying over who do you say that I am, she just leaned in and just whispered in my ear. She said, the Lord is telling me to let you know that you've been set apart and you are fully equipped for the job. And first of all, just shout out to God. Like, you rock, because this is the second time this has happened in my life, where somebody else has come to me and literally said something followed by the Lord told me to tell you, because he just knows when I need that encouragement. Like, I actually need to hear it. Otherwise, I don't know, is this your voice? Is this my own voice? You know, I don't know. Is this you? Is this me? And so that was really powerful. And of course, we were there for a leadership immersive. Like, this was about walking with purpose as an apostolate. So I'm applying everything to my work, my role in our jobs. But this past week of reentry, I realized like, oh, like, yes, I have been set apart there, but I'm also set apart here in my home as somebody that's got to stand strong and be steady. Like, whether I wanted that role or not, tag, I'm it. And so that what you read from Kings is so powerful, right? To recognize, like, we can stay steady, but we are not alone. We are surrounded by an army far greater, set apart and fully equipped. And how do we not quote St. Joan of Arc, which was plastered on the walls in the Acts home? But I am not afraid. I was born to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We've got to have that fighting spirit. We've got to have that confidence when we step into the spiritual battle, because when you see the enemy schemes, right, we can just feel like, who am I up against this? Well, like you said, we aren't alone, but we've got to be self-aware. And that's where journaling comes in. So I really do hope that you are taking these journaling questions and bringing them into prayer. And the question that I would encourage you to pray with this week is, which of your wounds is the enemy trying to exploit right now? Because he knows you, he knows what hurts the most. And that's exactly where he wants to mess. And if we're aware, then that's a huge part of the battle right there, just to recognize what's going on.
Yeah, it is.
So I would love to close us in prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, I cannot stay steady if I am being ruled by my emotions. And I am definitely being ruled by my emotions if I don't even know what they are. So I just pray, and I'm sure, Lord, I'm not alone in this, that you would help me to recognize what it is that I'm feeling. Help our listeners, our friends, to recognize what it is that they are feeling and where those feelings are coming from. Because so often, Lord, these feelings in this moment are tied to a previous experience, and I'm getting taken back to that place emotionally. And I just pray that you would open our eyes so that we have spiritual sight to see the ways in which the enemy is trying to isolate us, the ways in which the enemy is trying to exploit our pain. And then, Lord, I just pray that you would come and you would heal what is hurting. We just invite you into the depths, and we ask that your love would just be poured over those things that are causing us pain. There's a sign in my laundry room, Lord, and I just need this reminder continuously that we do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And I thank you that you not only surround us with angels, with all sorts of protection, with warriors along our side, you put your Holy Spirit within us. We are strong in battle because of you. But we also don't need to worry about what is ahead, because you are already there. You are holding the future. You are writing our story. And I just pray that knowing all these things would give us confidence to step into the battle as warriors, armed with the armor of God, filled with your Spirit, so that we would be able to take back ground that the enemy has captured but does not belong to him. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks for listening to Hope for Right Now, a Walking with Purpose podcast. We would love for you to subscribe, share today's episode with a friend, and leave a rate and review. And don't forget, subscribe to our weekly newsletter. This is where you'll get sneak peeks into new content, special events, and exclusive discounts sent directly to your inbox. Finally, we know how important it is to keep the conversation going, so we've created a private Facebook group exclusive to listeners like you. You can find the newsletter and Facebook details all in our show notes. It's our privilege to unpack God's word with you, and we can't wait to do it again next week. Until then, friends, don't forget to open your heart, open your Bible, and invite God in.